and welcome to a special Tech Weekly, the second in our Startup Surgery series. This week, Jemima poses all of your funding questions to venture capitalist Mike Reed of Frog Capital. All the questions that have been pouring in over the past 2 weeks on the digital content blog and on Twitter. And he tackles everything from the differences between the US and the EU in terms of legislation and opportunities to elevator pitches in 140 characters or less.
You know, it's a neat model. It's a sort of pop idol of the startup world, which is great.
Speaking of elevator pitches, we've got another startup keen to make its way to the top floor. Find out who we welcome into the Guardian's lift later in the show. Keep on listening for 30 minutes of digital nirvana. So you've got the big idea, and thanks to our last startup surgery, you've avoided all the potential legal pitfalls. So now you need some cash to make your dream into a reality. Mike Reed, managing partner at Frog Capital with 13 years as a VC under his belt, dropped into the Tech Weekly studio to answer all the questions you had that you'd sent in to us via the digital content blog or via Twitter. Jemima sat him down and put him to the test.
Mike, Frog Capital is a new name for us, but you've just rebranded. Tell us where you were before and what Frog Capital was before.
About a year ago, we were a business called Foursome Investments Limited, which is a fund that is financed by a wealthy European family. And we were managing about 60 million euros of assets active for the last 3.5-4 years in the clean tech area. Both the family and the managers of the fund then wanted to increase their ambition. They saw there was a particular window of this economic cycle coming up, and they wanted to extend the amount of money they wanted to invest in this area. So we expanded the fund to 100 million euros. They also wanted to recruit a number of other people, and I was one of the results of that. So I joined the firm in October last year from 3i, where I was for 12 years. We're expanding into the IT digital media area, and one of the ideas was, well, hey, why don't we take a fresh look at ourselves and rebrand the business?
It's quite a peculiar time to revamp and expand an investment business. We're just heading into an extremely severe recession. Why do this now?
It's unfortunately a great time to have money. The other players out there who have been investing in this area are overloaded with companies they've backed, and therefore they're open to new partners coming in.
Well, this leads us very nicely into our first question. Yep. From Alex Rahman on Twitter. If you're branching out into digital media investment, what track record has Frog in that area?
We've been focused on the clean tech area for the last 4 years, but myself with 3i for the last 12 years, about 8 of that has been in and around the IT, digital media, technology space.
So you're their secret weapon.
Absolutely.
In other words, yeah.
Not okay. So secret now.
Spidernix on Twitter. I need a quick injection of capital for a startup. How should I go about getting quick money?
The straight answer to that is convincing friends and family. I mean, that's how most guys get off the bat. The other side of things is business angels or business people that you know. It is tough, and I find the guys who really have got the guts to make it happen just get off and raise money from people who are close to them.
I know you've mentioned before that perhaps there's too much focus on giving money to startup companies, and that it's just as important to look at established companies who've kind of proven their business and who need support. So is that going to be a big part of what you do at Frog?
You know, CEOs and founders of other companies who've been running for 2 or 3 years will be upset if they didn't get their fair shout to say, hey, you know, we've actually got up, we've done stuff, we've raised a bit of friend and family and maybe a first round, and you know, this whole economic cycle has come at a pretty bad time for them, and therefore, you know, we should be focusing on those guys as well to help them through and build the success that they wanted.
Okay, there were three tweets that came, or rather two tweets and a comment on the blog which came together, and they're all kind of related, so I'll just go through these. Connie said, US entrepreneurs often complain that the EU has restrictive legislation that inhibits startups. Is this true? And if so, why? Jenny Lees says, the US has successful funds that specifically go after the idea to launch early stage, like Y Combinator. Why not the UK? And E. Hodgson says, my question as a startup founder comes from utter frustration. Is there a cultural difference between the US and the UK when it comes to supporting and nurturing mustard keen startups? So there's a few different issues in there, but loosely, you know, the difference between UK and US kind of scenes.
Yeah. When I first joined 3i, 96, I think there was a huge gap. between Europe and US. I think that gap has really closed. I think it's closed for a number of reasons. In Europe, you've either got guys who've started up stuff here and been successful. You've got a lot of guys who've worked for US startups in the West Coast and in the US who've come back here. You've got a lot of US guys who don't want to live in US. Having said that, you know, we're not the same as the US. I think one of the cons is employment legislation. You know, it's pretty frightening in terms of the amount of laws, etc., that you've got to keep within. Now, that's a decision we've made as a set of countries to have a sort of slightly more socialist balance to our life. So that's a sort of a political debate I won't go into. There's a much more innovative outsource partner market out there. I think
Y Combinator as well. I mean, I know it's often cited by really super enthusiastic European startups who really want to get. Why isn't there that model in the UK?
Well, funnily enough, there is. Saul Klein at Index, who you probably know and some of you may have heard of, did a fantastic job in terms of introducing essentially the same model in the seed camp side of things. I guess it kicked off maybe 2 years ago, and that's developing a nice set of activity. And it's, you know, it's a neat model. It's a sort of pop idol of the startup world, which is great. I think the thing I really like about Seed Camp and the whole approach is it's partly about money, but it's really, you know, lawyers who know their thing, employment specialists who know their thing, commercialization and marketing guys, technology guys, and that's as valuable as the money.
DGW Birch, is there really a UK VC market? 3/4 cash goes to management buyouts, doesn't it? What are the stats?
I don't know the stats off the top of my head. Clearly, the leverage buyout market has grown enormously over the last 10 years, and I think that's a very separate market. I don't think it's crowded out the venture capital market, but a lot of the successful players in the leverage buyout market actually came from the venture capital areas. My personal view is that there should always be more money in that field than there is, but yes, there is. There's an active VC market. It's increasingly European. There will always be a constraint in the very early stage side of things, and a small number will get funded and they'll be happy about it, and there'll be a lot of other people who won't be.
I sensed more than a note of scepticism in his message. But Jonathan Deemer, any advice for people from a startup or new media background who want to pursue a subsequent VC career? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a question I thought would come up.
Yeah, no, good one. Mm-hmm. I think my prime one is, I would say, warm intro. Going around doing cold calls to get into places is tough. So I would encourage you to really work out, you know, what you think your particular added value, you know, might be, your experience, how it might be relevant, and then work on, okay, who do I know or who that can get me some kind of warm intro. I had an interesting chat with a guy the other day who's just finishing off London Business School. He'd managed to catch hold of a guy who was chairman of a number of VC-backed businesses and say, look, you know, I'm looking to get into this industry. Can you introduce me to 4 or 5 VCs? You know, I'm not looking for a job at the moment. And he was in and we had a good chat.
But most people would presumably have a business school background rather than, you know, being a developer or an entrepreneur and then crossing over.
There's a real mix. I mean, I'm not necessarily a business school advocate. So I'm always looking for people who've got slightly different backgrounds. But yeah, people get a reasonable sort of network because the business school itself has a good network. So maybe you've got a friend who goes to a business school and you can sort of piggyback off of the network he can get. So.
Well, as ever, it's all about networking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last question, just from Psych Media. Somebody had to ask this, of course, but would you fund me to start a business providing data mashups to the UK press?
Could I say yes on a programme like this? I think the data area for me is a fascinating one. Bigger data-orientated companies are also clocking on to easy ways to mash up stuff. So what you really got to look at is, okay, so what is difficult to do about what you're doing and why can't other people do it? And then the other piece, which is around monetization. You know, how do you actually make money out of what you're doing? You've got to be very big to make a model out of that. But I think there are plenty of opportunities of guys focusing on the, you know, very specialized data, data that people can't get hold of and therefore they can charge for and people are happy to spend money on.
So data is a hugely interesting area, and I don't want you to give away your game plan, but are there any other sort of key trends or areas you're kind of sniffing around in?
Transitioning traditional licensed software into cloud computing or software as a service or that whole field, I think, will be very interesting. The sort of mobile field has still got potential with iPhone coming in and with other mobile operators wanting really to kind of make a stand on this whole data area apart from voice. I think that's another field which is of interest.
Well, it's always the next big year for mobile, isn't it? Mike, what's your website in case people want to go and...
Nice and easy, frogcapital.com.
That was Mike Reed from Frog Capital. If you've got your own advice, do let us know on guardian.co.uk/techweekly or ping us on twitter.com/guardiantw. If you missed our last startup surgery and you'd like some legal advice, then head to our archives at guardian.co.uk/techweekly. Now here's Jemima with the news.
The European Commission has started legal proceedings against the UK government for allegedly allowing controversial ad targeting company Form to breach EU data protection laws. BT is among firms to have tested the service, which monitored consumers' web use without informing them, but the EU has questioned the UK's interpretation of laws against intercepting communications. The founders of the discovery website StumbleUpon.com have teamed up with a group of investors to buy back the site from owners eBay, which bought the site 2 years ago for $75 million. The news comes as Skype's founders are also rumoured to be looking to buy back the web telephony service from the floundering auction giant. Investment in the UK's early-stage tech sector fell 68% from the second quarter of 2008 to the first quarter this year, according to data from Calibre One. UK investments fell from $351 million to $112 million, while US investments nearly halved over the period to just over $1.5 billion. Amazon has admitted an embarrassing and ham-fisted cataloguing error that removed nearly 60,000 adult and gay titles from its book charts. Amazon said it had tried to make the charts more family-friendly, but critics observed it had inadvertently removed books on healthcare and novels by Gore Vidal.
Thanks, Jemima. Keep up on the headlines and on the comment on guardian.co.uk/technology. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since we stepped into the elevator of dreams. Let's see who's riding up to the top floor with Jemima.
Welcome to Elevator Pitch.
Ground floor. Please mind the doors.
Which floor would you like?
Can I go to the photography department, please?
Going up.
So, who are you and what's your company?
Hi, my name's Sean Miller. I'm one of the two people in charge of Pickley.com, which is a brand new photo hosting website.
Okay then, explain your business to my mum in two sentences.
Pickley's is a photo hosting site with a difference in rather act than like a massive hard drive where you just dump all your pictures. It's more about getting your work seen, so every photo you can vote on, and the most popular pictures are always published to the front page of the website, much like a newspaper, so the most important content is on the front. So basically, if you're a good photographer, your work is going to get seen rather than just hidden on a page somewhere that no one can find, unless you're linked to it by an email or something.
First floor.
So how are you funded then?
Privately. We're all doing it off our own back right now. So
how do you make money?
At the moment it's just advertising revenue, but we will introduce paid accounts and maybe let users sell their photos in the future, but it's a long way down the line at the moment.
And tell me about your background.
I'm based in graphic design and I've been working as an art director for a while now. My partner Sam, he's a coder and works in web development.
Second floor.
What's the weirdest business experience you've had so far?
We've had a couple of weird emails from elderly gentlemen in America who have no idea how to work a computer and sending me links to files on their computer and their C drive and asking me to upload the pictures. And that's been tricky dealing with them, but we got these pictures on the site eventually. So
where do you want to be in 5 years' time?
We'd like to be up there, you know, competing with everybody. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We want to be big, so we want to compete with Flickr. We want to make them scared. But it would be really cool if we'd known for breaking some photographers, if they got their work known for seeing it on our site. That would be a really good thing to make me happy. So.
Third floor.
Okay, so who are you competing with?
Well, you have Flickr and Photobucket, SmugMug, and the Zoomer, which all... You know, photo hosting sites, and you have Facebook photos, which is mostly just people drunk, you know, drunk pictures and stuff like that, which is not really competition to what we're doing, which is more, you know, amateur photography. But none of those photo hosting sites like Flickr or anything do what we do with the voting thing and getting people's pictures seen. I mean, you have Digg and Reddit, which do a similar thing with news articles, but no one's really doing it with proper photography right now, so it's just us.
How's your work-life balance?
Well, we're both up to 4 in the morning every night, but I don't really mind it. It's, you know, this is a passion for us, and it's exciting. I mean, I wake up every day and jump out of bed to get straight on the computer, so it's not really work for us. It's, like, we love it.
How will you survive the second dot-com crash?
Well, it's only two of us have made this entire site, so we think if we keep it as small as possible for as long as possible, our overheads will be really small.
Fourth floor. Doors opening.
I think this is the wrong floor.
If you want to join in the fun, let us know on tech@guardian.co.uk and read up on other elevator pitches on PDA or games pitches on the games blog. That's it for this week. Thanks to Mike Reed and the folks who came up in our lift. Thanks also to Jemima and to Scott, our producer, over there in the glass box. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Alex Krotowski. See you next Tuesday.